thank you all for having me. It's great to be amongst you. I'm a bit of a picture person. I hope you can mind and bring some props with me. Yeah, that's cool. All right. Yep.
And that pot too. Okay. Yes. Might need to.
Just to let you know a bit about me, I've been a pastor for 3 years now at the Christian Reformed Church at Casey over in Pound Road and Narre Warren South. Before that, I was with ANZ Bank for 19 years. I'm married to Jenny and I've got two boys. Firstly, there's Shane, who went to school with many of you or played soccer with you as well. And I've got Ryan, who plays soccer with Joseph. So yeah, it's great to be with you. I also love sport. I play cricket in the summer. And being a Sri Lankan, you've sort of grown up with that. It's in your blood. And I love playing cricket. And of course, my other passion is playing soccer. And I've been playing soccer since we basically arrived in Australia when I was 15. Many years ago. I want to talk to you tonight about growth. Growing, or gone is my theme tonight. Okay, growing, are you growing or are you gone? So that's my theme tonight. And if you think about sport, if I think about soccer, I need to grow in my fitness. I need to grow in my skill. Because otherwise these young guys who play against me score some awkward goals from the halfway line and get into the back of the net or run right past me because they're so much quicker than me. If you get to my age and you want to keep up, you need to grow in your fitness. I need to do lots more jogging. But at times, that growth, I struggle to see that in my physical fitness when you get a bit older in life. And I want to take that from playing sport into having a spiritual life, applying that into a spiritual life. I want to see growth in my soccer fitness, but am I seeing growth in my spiritual walk with the Lord? If you're with me, there's many times where I struggle with my Bible reading or my daily prayer life. And I'm expected to see a growth in that. But often, if you're like me, it's a struggle. So we want to think about that theme of growth. And I'd like you to turn your Bibles with me to please to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. And we're going to read a few verses in there. And we'll see what it says about growth. Anyone feel like reading for me? From verse 4 to 10. These Maccas have a loud voice in the soccer field. Joseph? No, I'm only joking. Anyone want to read or shall I read? Alright, I'll read. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to others I speak in parables, so that those seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." So we want to think about what Jesus said in this parable, and we're going to read the next few verses in a minute. But before I get to that, what about if you think about the growth in Christianity? Are we seeing that growth happen in Australia with Christianity? The last census in 2011 showed a bit of a dip in the number of people that say that they are Christians. The biggest rise was in those who ticked no religion. It went up by 1 million people. 1 million Aussies said they do not believe in any God. There's so much anti-Christian sentiment, isn't there, at the moment in the media. If you look on social media, the topic of same-sex marriage, wanting to change the laws. People, there's a big shift, and we don't see that growth in Christianity that we saw in the early church. And I ask myself, why is that? Why don't we see that growth? Well, in this parable, we see Jesus coming to his own people. He's coming to the Jews. And the Jews, you would expect to welcome their promised Messiah. They've been waiting for Jesus for 40 or 400 years. But Jesus faced a mixed reaction. He faced a people that wanted to reject him, wanted to persecute him. But he also faced a people who would accept him, who would grow with him. And Jesus tells a parable. And to some people that want to reject him, this parable makes no sense. But to others who do accept him, it makes sense. And it also encourages us to examine how we are growing in our life and to see what this meaning of this parable means for you and for me. The picture is of a farmer. Is anyone's parents here a farmer? We've got some sheep in the back of our church property. That's the only farming picture I could come to see. But here's a picture of a farmer scattering seed, all right? And the seed, if you read in the Bible there, the seed stands for the Word of God. And here's a farmer scattering seed. And in Israel, there's no massive farming land to sow the seed for these farmers. They would have to find any little patch of grass. They would have to dig it. And as soon as they dug it, they would hit rock. All right, so they wouldn't have much place to sow the seed. And that's the picture of this parable that Jesus is trying to teach his disciples. And let's look at verse 12. And Jesus starts to share the meaning of this parable. The seed falls on four areas. The first, in verse 12, it falls along the path. Now, I am not a paver. All right, I'm a banker and now a pastor. But a path, you would think over in Israel, there'd be all cobblestones or crushed rock or really hard surfaces. So here's my pavers that I brought from my garden. It's pretty hard, all right? And that's what we sometimes make our paths with. And the seed falls on this hard path. And in verse 12, what does he say in verse 12? Those along the path are the ones who hear the word, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Right, so the farmer sows the seed, the word of God falls on people like the path, but it's so hard, their hearts are so hard inside, that Satan comes and plucks that seed that falls on the path and it's gone. The seed can't sink into their hearts because their hearts are so hard. They just reject the word of God. Like those atheists I talked about before. We say, Jesus, no, it's not for me. And they reject him. It's perhaps those people that are fighting for no CRE in public schools. It's perhaps those people who want to change the marriage laws and make it between same-sex people. They're the sort of people that have the hardness of heart in them, and they reject the word of God, which is the seed. The second thing it falls on is on the rock. Look at verse 13. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they do not have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. All right, here's my rocks. All right, imagine the farmer sowing the seed in the rock. The seed tries to get in between the rocks, but there's no moisture. The seed can't take root. Okay, the seed can't get into that fertile soil underneath. When the testing comes, when people test you for your faith, when there's difficulties come your way, I'm thinking about that football coach that died in the media today. When difficult times come our way, those people who do not have the word of God deep in their heart, that is growing there, that do not reach down to the bottom, those people too fall away, Jesus says. Right, so we have the path, the rocks, and the third thing, it falls among the thorns. I picked my rose bush before I came here, and these have got some thorns on them. Alright? So you need to be careful when you give roses to your girlfriend or your wife, that the thorns don't prick you on the way through. Let's look at the third thing, verse 14. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches and pleasures, and they do not mature. See, Jesus is saying that the word of the Lord sometimes falls amongst plants that have the thorns growing beside them. And if you're not careful, the thorns actually take over and start to get in the way of that beautiful seed growing up. Tell me, what is it says there? The thorns grow up with the plants, and what is it choked by? What is it choked by, firstly, in verse 14? Life's worries. Alright? The thorns choke the good plants with life's worries. What's next? What else is it choked by? In verse 14.
Riches.
Riches, that's right. Riches and pleasures. Alright, I thought of an illustration in the Bible about the rich young ruler. Remember him? He comes to Jesus and he says, I want to have eternal life. And Jesus says, he knows him intimately. He says to that rich young ruler, go back, sell all you have, give it all to the poor, then come and follow me. But the rich young ruler could not, could he? Because he had to serve his master of riches and pleasures. And the word of the Lord says in verse 14, because those thorns grow up and choke the good stuff, the good plants do not mature. Alright, lastly, verse 15, the fourth area. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. Notice descriptions for the word of God to reap a bumper crop. Tell me in verse 15, what are some of the conditions that's needed to have a beautiful bumper crop?
Faith.
What's firstly needed? Verse 15.
Noble and a good heart.
A noble and a good heart. For that seed to grow in our lives, our hearts need to be noble and good, Jesus says. Think about Psalm 51, where the psalmist says, Lord, have mercy on me. And what does the Lord require? The Lord requires a broken and a contrite heart. Our hearts need to be in the right place. Our hearts need to be sprinkled by Jesus' blood and His forgiveness so that that seed, the word of the Lord, can make sense. And if our hearts are far away, if our hearts are sinful, if our hearts are not broken and contrite, God's word can't grow and produce a beautiful crop. All right, firstly, he needs a noble and a good heart. Secondly, what else does he need? Maybe a lady. We've heard from the boys. Ladies, what is the second thing that's needed? Verse 15.
Those who hear the word.
Thank you. That's right. Those who hear the word. All right? For the word of God to reap a good crop, our hearts need to be noble, they need to be good, and when they are good and noble, they are enabled to hear the word, and not for the word to go in one ear and out the other, but for the word of the Lord to be retained. Alright? Then word of the Lord to be retained. And the third thing that is described a bumper crop. What else is needed? Right at the end of verse 15. It starts with the letter P.
Perseverance.
Thank you. That's right. Okay? You would know that being a Christian is not easy. In your schools, perhaps, like maybe at Maranatha or any other school that you go to, you might face difficulty. And sometimes you may feel this faith thing, this Friday night youth thing, I just want to give up. It's no use, you know, I'm not seeing any growth. But Jesus is saying, when that word of the Lord, when the seed falls on a good, noble heart, when we're retaining it, when we're growing in it, there's going to times come where there's difficulties in our lives. And you have faced difficulties. I face difficulties. But the word of the Lord says we need to persevere. We need to not give up, but to keep going. To keep searching the scriptures for answers with whatever we're facing. Not to go to the G thing on the internet, the Google to find all our answers, but go to G for God's Word to find the answers and to persevere in the faith and not to give up. So my question to all of us tonight is, how has this seed, the Word of the Lord, how has this seed been received in your life and in mine? Perhaps there's some here which are like the hardened path. That you're just coming here because your parents are here, or it's just a dumb thing and you're saying, no, it's not for me. Your hearts are so hardened that the seed of the Lord comes and Satan comes and plucks it out. Perhaps there's a challenge here to say, stop being like that hardened path. Open up your heart to the Lord. Let God's word come and dwell in your heart. The good news of Jesus and His saving love, that He went to the cross for your sin and mine. That vacuum in your life needs to be filled with the word of the Lord.
Perhaps there's others here like the rocks. You know, at first you accepted Jesus, but he was just on the surface. It hadn't gotten down to the soil. There's no moisture. There's nothing for the Lord's word to take root in your life. Perhaps others of us here need to watch out for the thorns that come into our life. Because if you don't watch out for the thorns, they'll grow up much taller than this beautiful smelling bulb that's growing. We need to watch out for those thorns in our life. What are some of those thorns in our lives? And I'd like you to talk to the person next to you for a couple of minutes. The thorns, life's worries, riches and pleasures. Right? The God substitutes that we have instead of worshipping our great God. Perhaps turn to the person next to you and talk about some of the thorns that take up our time, our resources, and that stop us from growing in God's Word. So maybe spend a couple of minutes talking about some of the God substitutes that we make. Life's worries, riches, and pleasures.
How much? How much? School. Just not being forward. All right.
That we sometimes get caught up in and sometimes take over and stunt the growth of God's word in our hearts. What are some of those God substitutes that we make or we put in higher priority than our great God? Tell me. Maybe I'll start off. I must say that sometimes if I compare the time I spend at soccer training compared to the amount of time I spend reading God's Word. So I play for an hour and a half. I get there 45 minutes before. I jog twice a week. That's an hour. I train Joseph and his team at 5 o'clock. Joseph is getting there on time now. and I get home at around 9 o'clock. So all up, my soccer training and my soccer commitments are probably close to 10 hours a week. Do I spend 10 hours reading God's Word? I'm going to balance that. God substitutes. You know, where are my priorities? Sometimes our sport can be a thorn that stops our growth in the Word. What else? What did you share with your partner? Anyone, come on.
Technology.
Thank you for your honesty.
Yeah.
Yes, the amount of time we spend on technology. Okay? I don't have to tell you how much time you spend. And thank you for your honesty. It's really good. Yes. If you think about the amount of time we spend on our phones and our tablets, on whatever, compared to the time we spend reading God's Word, you know, that's a thorn. That if we don't, if you're not careful, that thorn will grow up and squash the growth in our spiritual walk. All right, what else? What about a pleasure? What about riches? Today I was at Fountain Gate looking for some shoes with Ryan, and there's thousands and thousands of people there walking along, shopping away. And I'm not saying shopping is bad, but the amount of time and money we put on our clothes and the stuff we wear, my wardrobe, I've got about 30 shirts. I think about, my goodness, you know, why do I need 30 shirts for? Or your dresses, or the amount of shoes you have in your wardrobes. You know, if you're not careful, we put our money to those things instead of putting our money into the offering bag, perhaps. So God substitutes. Anything else, finally? I heard someone here talking about life's worries. Could that be a thorn? Anyone want to share about that?
Our group was talking about popularity.
Popularity, yeah? In what way?
The worries about how to be popular, how to be cool, how to be accepted.
Yeah. Like yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's good. That could be a thorn that... all that you focus on is your popularity or your standing amongst your peers, that you forget who you really are as a saved child of God. And perhaps it's not cool to share your faith with those around you when those difficult times come and you need to share God's faith. So we need to watch out that the thorns, like the parable says, that those thorns, life's worries, pleasures, and riches don't take over from growing in God's Word. So my summary tonight is, it's a prayer for us. I like that song we sang earlier about Christ being enough for me. My prayer for all of us is that we will be found as that good soil. The good soil, that as God's Word, the seed falls on our good and noble hearts, that we will be those that absorb that good Word, that we will understand what Jesus has done, that you will come to these Friday nights on time and hear God's Word preached and fall on your hearts, and you will come to love Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that you would keep growing in the faith, that you will keep growing and not be gone when Jesus comes again. So Jesus is going to come back again. He's going to ask all of us, atheists, God haters, God rejecters, all of us, believers, what we did with Jesus. And my prayer is that we will grow and we will produce beautiful fruit like the disciples did. See, the disciples grew up with Jesus, the word of the Lord. The grew up with him, they were taught by him, and they went and preached God's word, and they brought fruit 30, 60, 100 fold. And all of that good fruit that the seed brought to fruition far outweighed the seed that fell on those other three places. So I want to encourage us to keep growing in God's word, that when Jesus comes again, you and I will be found to be on the winning team. Knox Churches, no. We will be found on the winning team, on the Lord Jesus Christ's team, and that I will see you in heaven as well. Let's come to God in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for this beautiful parable, this simple parable, Lord, that Jesus taught his disciples. Lord, how he scattered seed whilst he lived on this earth. And Lord, that Jesus found a mixed reaction. Lord, there was many people like the hard path with hardened hearts that rejected him. There were people like the rocks where he scattered God's word, and that seed did not find the soil underneath the rocks. Lord, there he sowed the seed to others too, but the thorns in their life, the pleasures, the riches, the worries of this life, Lord, overtook the good seed, and it choked it and stopped the good plants from growing up. But Lord, thank you that you also sowed your word into hearts that were good and noble. Lord, that hearts that were broken and contrite. And Lord, that seed found a beautiful home. And Lord, that your Holy Spirit came and changed those hearts. Lord, those hearts that you have changed in us. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that does that life-changing work in us. Lord, that shows us our need for Jesus, that helps us repent of our sin and turn to you in faith. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will be moving in this room. Lord, that you will be speaking to our hearts and showing us that sin in our heart that we need to repent. Lord, we want to confess that many a times we have spent more time on God's substitutes like sport, on technology, Lord, on shopping, on whatever it is, instead of spending time in your word, getting to know Jesus, our Lord and Savior. So Lord, we want to take a moment now to repent of our sin. Lord, to say sorry for the way we have been living. Lord, we want to turn to you by faith and claim that forgiveness that only Jesus can give us. So let's spend a moment now in quiet reflecting, looking into our lives and seeing those areas that we need to repent. Let's do that right now. Thank you, Lord, for your word that says that if we confess our sin, Lord, that you are just and merciful, and that you will cleanse us from all of our sin, our unrighteousness, our unholiness. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who died on that cruel cross, who paid that penalty that was due for our sin. And Lord, when we repent and return to you in faith, Lord, you give us forgiveness of sin and the gift of eternal life. Lord, I want to pray for hearts here tonight, individuals here who have been rejecting you all their life. And Lord, your Holy Spirit has been speaking to them tonight, saying to them, open up our hearts. Receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Lord, if there's anyone here tonight, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would do that life-changing work in their hearts and help help them to see Jesus and their need for him in their life. Lord, we also want to pray for our secular Australia in which we live. Lord, there's so many of our friends, our family, our neighbors, the people who we play sport with or shop with or whatever we do with, Lord, that they are turning their backs on Jesus. There's so much opposition, so much anti-Christian sentiment out there. And Lord, we pray earnestly that you will protect us by your Holy Spirit. Help us to persevere in the faith, like you told the disciples, not to give up on it, Lord, but to persevere and to keep going and to keep growing in God's Word. Keep having a passion to get to know you by reading it. Lord, we pray for revival in our country. And Lord, we pray that we will be bold. Lord, that we would be like the sower, scattering God's Word with those who we come in contact with. And Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will take that word, will take those words, and Lord, use them for your kingdom's sake. Lord, the encouraging thing is, Lord, that the word of the Lord does not return void. Lord, that the seed that fell on good soil far outweighed, Lord, all the seed that did not bear fruit. Thank you, Lord, for the encouragement that your Holy Spirit goes with us and walks with us and helps us, Lord, live lives for you. Thank you, Lord. We pray for this youth group, Lord, that they would be on fire for you, Lord. We pray for the leaders here, Lord, that they would keep setting a godly example to all these men and women who come here every week. And Lord, I pray that this church, this youth group, would grow and grow and grow. Thank you, Lord, that you are with us, that you never ever leave us nor forsake us. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray.
Amen.
You going to finish with a song, or
we can
we sing Christ is Enough?